is Easter. That's right. And Easter is a day like, you know, there's only two times a year where I tend to speak about calendar issues, and that's Christmas and Easter, right? And Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And actually, I'm going to talk today, of course, about the resurrection and the gospel. And next week, I'll be talking about our resurrection as we continue through a very lengthy chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. But the main thing that, you know, we need to know as God's people, as Christians, the fundamental, the basic principle of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again. And that it is not only the cross, but it is the resurrection. Those two things combined unleash the power of God for many, many different things, and really for eternal kingdom of God to be established, which we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of what God is doing. It's an amazing thing how God has, you know, he's so all-powerful. He creates the universe by just speaking things into being. And yet, what he does with the gospel is he puts it in the mouths of mere men. He puts the word of God in our hearts and gives us the words to speak his truth. The gospel actually means truth. And it is believing that gospel that brings about salvation, but also the kingdom of God. And we're going to listen to Paul as he talks to the Corinthians about that gospel, but also about some things that were going on that were unhelpful to the gospel. So he says, "Brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." You know, our denomination, our church, we define a church as a place where the word is rightly proclaimed and the sacraments rightly observed. There's a lot of bad preaching in this world. There's a lot of bad, and I do believe it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. You know, too many churches are about entertainment. Too many churches are about loud, pounding music and not about worship and not about the word of God. And Paul tells it, says, if you want to be connected to what God has been doing for the last 2,000 years, it's about the word of God being preached according to the word of God. When we stand as preachers, we're supposed to not try to be clever, not supposed to entertain you. We're supposed to preach to you the message that's been preached. And so when we stand here 2,000 years after Paul, we can say the message that Paul preached is being preached. The message that the Corinthians heard is being heard. The gospel of God is being spread still today. That's what the church is supposed to be about. And so he reminds him, he says, you heard the gospel. And he said, you received it. And that word receive means to take it in as your own. A lot of people hear the word of God. And hearing the word of God doesn't save you. Hearing the word of God doesn't make you right, doesn't make you a Christian. It only when you take it in and you own it and it becomes part of you, that's when you receive that gospel. He says you receive it and you've taken your stand in it. When we receive and take in the gospel, it changes our lives. I cannot go back to what I was before I received Jesus Christ. I can't go back to the way I thought. And to be honest, at this point in my life, I can barely remember the way I thought back then because I've been walking with God so long and just understanding the power of the gospel that gets into us, changes how we think, changes our heart, what we want, what we desire, changes our actions, what we do. It changes us. It makes us God's people. And so he's talking to these people and he's saying to them, you heard the gospel, you received the gospel, and by that gospel you are being saved. The word saved is an interesting word because in Scripture it's used at various points. When you first received the gospel, you might say, I'm saved, or I was saved at a certain point. But it's not done yet. The way he says it here is, I am being saved. Saving is something that goes on. Do you know when I'm saved? I'm not saved fully yet. Although I know Jesus Christ, I've received the gospel, I'm taking God's word in, I'm trying to do what is pleasing to God, and the day that God raises me and brings me into his kingdom, and the day that I get to celebrate with all the saints from history who Jesus is and who God is, that's when I'm saved. And so he says, you are being saved. It's a process, and we've got to be careful not to let anything interfere with the work of God going on in our lives, right? So he says, you know, you're being saved if, this is a big word, it comes up later several times, if we hold firmly to the word I preached. And again, I agree with Paul. I preach Paul. I preach what Paul wrote because his gospel is the right gospel, and you know, the word of God is the truth of God. We'll see that again. I'll talk about that in a minute. But the idea, if you hold firmly to the word that is being preached, God chose the word of the gospel, the words about Jesus, the word of all scripture that points to Jesus. All of that God chose as the instrument of our salvation. There's no other word. There's no other truth. There's no other real help for your life than the word of God and the truth of the gospel. He says, if you don't hold firmly to it, he says, then your faith is empty. It doesn't have anything to it. It's not going to work for you, right? It says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Again, it is primary importance, what the gospel is about. It is the thing that we have to listen to. We have to take in our heart. We have to hold on to. He says, you know, he received the gospel. If you know Galatians, he didn't receive it from men. He received it from God. And God taught him what to say. And then he had it tested by the apostles. And the apostle says, that's it. You got it, you know. And so he shared that gospel. But here's the gospel. He puts it down for us. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's very interesting, the word scriptures being used here, because the Old Testament hints to, points to, we can see what when God talks about Jesus all throughout the Old Testament, but it's the Gospels that talk about Jesus dying on the cross. It's the Gospels that set us in front of the cross where we hear Jesus cry out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? What are you doing? Yeah. But the idea is that, you know, that scripture, where does it come from? Oh, people wrote it, did they? No. Paul says all scripture is God-breathed. Every word of scripture, every word in the Bible came out of God. You can say it's inspired, but it really means expired. It came out of God and men wrote it. Peter says holy men wrote it as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They wrote the truth of God. And the truth of God is that Jesus Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, under the Jewish leaders. He was beaten, he was crucified, and he died. And they buried him. That's the truth. The truth of Scripture, the truth of God's word, what God told us is that Jesus died on the cross and they buried him and they rolled a stone in front of his tomb. And then it says, on the third day, he rose again. And when they went to see Jesus in the tomb, right, he was gone because he had risen from the dead. And we'll see how God showed many ways. He said he rose from the dead according to the scriptures, all God's word. But God didn't just leave it just with the scripture. He also, for the first generation, you have to realize there were a lot of people who saw the resurrected Jesus, and that's what Paul says. He said after that, he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And we have stories in the Gospels where Jesus meets with the guys as they're out fishing and he calls them to shore and he sits down and he eats fish with them and he walks and talks to Peter and restores Peter. And there's that. There's the Emmaus Road where the two guys are walking and they're all sad and all of a sudden a stranger is walking with them and talking, and when he finally ends telling them all about what the Old Testament said about Jesus, boom, he disappeared from their sight. And then they started, that was Jesus, and they knew. He said the apostles saw him. Then he said he appeared to 500 people at one time. There were 500 people. He said some of those people were still alive at the time he wrote this. He said he appeared to James and the apostles. And then he said, last of all, he appeared to Paul on the road to Emmaus. And Paul was going to persecute the church. And Jesus stood in his path. And he says, you know, at that time his name was Saul. He says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He says, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus Christ whom you persecute. And so these witnesses, God gave the early church eyewitnesses. I think about that, you know. I have not, quote, seen Jesus, but I do have the power and the Spirit of God in my heart. I have a Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and together they testify to me absolutely beyond any doubt that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that Jesus Christ is the only way for me to be saved. And if I want to be close to God, if I want to walk with God, I need to listen to the testimony of Scripture. I need to listen to the testimony that Paul lays out here as eyewitnesses. And I definitely need to listen to the testimony of the Holy Spirit that tells me this is the gospel. This is the truth. This is the word that God has given us in order to save us. This is what God offers us, faith in Jesus Christ. And he goes on and says, whether then it was they, you know, it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And I pray that everybody in this room has believed in Jesus, has believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross, has believed that God rose him from the dead, and that he has put him in the center of authority in all the universe, that there is no name under heaven like the name of Jesus, right? But do you know what? Do you know what our world tells us? Do you know what false people tell us? Do you know what liars tell us? He says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Somebody around them, somebody in Corinth, was saying, well, there's no resurrection. What that lie, that evil, most evil lie, said to them was a stab at the very heart of the gospel. That's what Paul shows us. How many liars, how many lies are being told every day out on the streets, by words, by media? How many false preachers, how many false prophets? How many people have made serving God about something other than Jesus Christ, right? A lie. Who's the father of lies? Who's the one who would want to stab at the heart of the gospel? Just Satan. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. That's what Jesus called him in John 8. He said, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks his own language, for he is a liar. And the father of lies, John 8, Jesus talking to the Jewish people about Satan. Who tells the lies about Jesus? Who tries to sow doubt in our heart that Jesus is real, that Jesus really died, that Jesus really rose from the dead, that Jesus really is the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Who wants to dethrone him? Who wants to cast him aside? Who wants to say that there's no hope for you except for the enemy? Except for the one who lied from the beginning and dishonored God from the beginning and wants people to do the same thing. What has Paul said earlier? He said, you've got to hold to your faith. You've got to hold on to that faith if you're going to be with God, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to continue in your salvation. He says, if there's no resurrection, then even Christ has not been raised. If there's no resurrection, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If there's no resurrection, then we are found to be false witnesses about God. If there's no resurrection, you people should take me outside and beat me with sticks and stone me to death because I am a false teacher, a false prophet, and a liar. That's what Paul said. He says, if you believe that Jesus isn't risen, if you believe there is no resurrection, then everybody that stands in the name of Jesus and proclaims the gospel is a false teacher. And false teachers don't deserve to be heard and definitely don't deserve to live, according to the Old Testament. Right? That's what God says. That's what he says. He says, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead, and if there's no resurrection, the dead are not raised. Your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. If Jesus didn't die, if Jesus didn't rise, you're all guilty, and you're going to stand before a holy God as guilty, and you're going to be cast out. And he actually says, those who have died, those who have fallen asleep, they translate it lost, but it's destroyed. Those who fall asleep, those who have died are destroyed. If we don't have Christ, if Christ isn't dead, if Christ didn't rise, if Christ isn't who the gospel says he is, everything falls apart by this lie. And that's what Paul's saying. Folks, we need to be stronger than the lie. Our faith needs to be stronger than the millions of messages out there that deny Jesus. The billions of people on the planet that try to live some other way, that try to create their own righteousness, their own holiness, their own sense of God without Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except for through the Son. Right? There's only one way. There's only one name which we must call upon in order to be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And last thing he says about the lies, if you believe the lies, he says, if it's only for this life, we have hope in Christ. We are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Christ is. And he, now this is the thing. It's like I think about my salvation. I think about, you know, everything that might fall apart if I believe a lie. I need to hold on to the truth. Because not only does my salvation and your salvation depend upon it, but the very kingdom of God depends upon that message. The message of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's how God purchased people for himself by the blood of Christ. That's how we overcome the world by the testimony and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how God is going to bring all evil powers into subjection and crush them. He says, yes, Jesus has been raised from the dead. For since death came through a man, the resurrection from death also comes through a man. In Adam, everybody dies. We talked about that Friday. Also in Christ, people are made alive. But each one of us in our own time. There's a time, there's a day when Jesus comes for those who belong to him. The word first fruits is a great word when it talks about Jesus. Who's the first man to die, be raised again, and stand in heaven forever? Jesus. Jesus. And what has Jesus promised us? He says, you who have faith in Jesus, you who follow Jesus, you who confess Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, he says, one day you will stand with me in the glory of God forever. He's the first. We follow him. Remember, they asked him, said, Jesus, show us the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. We're following Jesus to go. Jesus is the center of God's plan for victory. This is what it says. Then the end shall come when Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, this is the power of Jesus. God ordained Jesus to come, to be our Savior, to die, to rise again, to stand in heaven. By the power of Jesus Christ in Revelation 12, the dragon, Satan, is cast out of heaven and cast down to earth, right? In 1 John, he says the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. There are many enemies, and we talk about the spiritual warfare we endure. There are dominions, authorities, and powers in dark places. And Jesus Christ is going to crush every one of them, put them down. And then people, you know, at funerals, oh, God wanted to take, death is no friend of God's. Death is an enemy. Death is our enemy. It is God's enemy. And he says the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. In the book of Revelation, death and all the earthly beasts and all the evil of the world is cast into the lake of fire. Right? And what remains? The saints of God. What remains is our place with God. Revelation 21 kind of sums up how Jesus comes in victory, a great spiritual warrior, and defeats all these enemies. And then, and only then, is the kingdom of God established. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready for as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and he will, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. The kingdom of God, that's all that's at stake when we talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus, the kingdom of God. My place in it is kind of small compared to that. But the kingdom of God, don't let anyone or any lie take out of your heart the kingdom of God. Paul said, if you're going to be saved, if you're being saved, you must hold on to the truth of the gospel. Jesus died. Jesus rose so that we could belong to God, so that we could be part of that beautiful picture of God dwelling with us in perfect joy and peace and love and grace forever, standing with our Lord Jesus, worshiping him, worshiping God the Father. Worshiping under the power of this perfect presence of God forever. That's all that's at stake in the resurrection of Jesus.
Tempts me to despair and tells me I is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable of glory and of grace. One in himself I cannot die. My love is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we understand and know that our Savior rose from the dead and has so delivered us from death and allowed us a place with you forever in heaven. While we're still waiting for that to happen, Lord God, we pray that we would live lives of peace, love, and thankfulness, in holiness towards you, and in love towards each other and towards the world. We pray, Lord Jesus, for everyone who doesn't know about your salvation offered in Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord God, that you would open eyes and soften hearts to hear and understand the gospel and to preserve their lives before you and to be accepted into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.